Welcome to On the Journey with Carissa and Friends, part of My Journey of Faith Ministries. I'm Carissa Hartage, and I'm excited to have you join me each week as I chat with friends about the ups and downs of their journeys of faith. You'll become familiar with voices such as Shelley Chandler, Sarah Heer, Rebecca Bean, and more. And you will also hear from stories of women who have experienced victories and struggles, but continue to trust God on their journeys. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. In other words, we were never meant to do life alone. So join us each week for a little bit of encouragement and for strategies to help each other navigate as we continue on the journey together. Hey everybody, welcome back to On the Journey with Carissa and Friends. And today with me back again is my friend Shelley Chandler. Hi, Shelley. Who I know that you're going to become so familiar with and just love as much as I do. And so I'm so grateful to have you back for part two of our conversation on just identity, right? Yeah. And so what we talked about a little bit last time, we learned a little bit about you. So if you want to know more about Shelley and how she got to where she is today, please go back and listen to last week's episode. And then we also talked about the need for just a grounding in who we are in Christ,
yes,
and all the different, just the different blessings that come out of that, from just a solid self, sense of self, a solid sense of self-worth, which we're going to, I'm sure, talk about in just a few moments. And then it can also just travel on to our purpose in life,
yes,
which is really what we're here. Viktor Frankl wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, and it's the neatest book. I highly recommend it. But he was a psychiatrist in a Jewish concentration camp, and he actually used his experiences to as an experiment, as a way for him to essentially keep his sense of identity.
Oh, wow.
He used this situation, he looked at it as an experiment in order to keep his mind alert and focused on something other than the suffering.
Yeah.
And so what he learned is that one of the main things that keeps people going is that search for identity, that search for who we are.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have struggled so much with this in my whole life. Some of it's because of the way I'm wired. Some of it's because of my history. There's a lot that goes into it. Some of it's because of my spiritual struggles. Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it. And I just don't think that I'm alone in that.
No, you're not. No, yeah. I think we all struggle with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think knowing who you are, what your purpose is, why you are here, that's something I don't think there is a person that has not at least asked that question of themselves.
Absolutely.
Sometime in their life. If you haven't, you're going to.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those, it's just a given that you are going to one day wonder what the whole purpose for you is. And so what we want as Christians, what we want as women who are following after God, what we want is for us to find that identity within Christ.
Yes.
And I think we said this last week or last time we were together, but if you look for that anywhere else outside of God, outside of Christ, outside of those parameters, it will never satisfy.
That's
it
right.
will be empty. It will be temporary. And so what we're talking about is finding an identity that is eternal.
Yes.
It's something that you can have from now on.
Yes. Yes. And it sounds simplistic,
yes,
when we say it, right?
Right.
But the thing that I've noticed that sets people apart from the ones who are willing, you got to be willing to do the work.
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
you've
got to
be.
Yes.
And let me say it this way. You deserve to do the work.
Mm.
Everybody who's listening right now, take it from both of us.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve this experience, this time, this energy. It is not selfish for you to invest in your identity, yourself, and your God.
No.
It is not selfish.
Because it becomes more about Him than it does about you.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you find yourself pushing into God, where you become less and He becomes greater, that is not a waste of time.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. And that sense of peace that we gain, I think a lot of times women especially start to feel bad if they feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they start to think, what's wrong with me if they're not, you know, not accepting, or not accepting the compliment or not finding value in themselves.
Yeah.
But I think that when you truly know who you are in Christ, you have a humility about you.
Yes, because it's about him.
That's right.
Not you.
That so, it enables you to be at peace with who you are.
Right. Because it is him, not you.
That's right.
I mean, and that's something, goodness, we need to stress, because there's such freedom in that. It's it just releases you from yourself.
Yes.
To be who you are in Christ. And so something that it's just been like a journey for me that I've been on when I started looking through all of this, trying to figure out who I was. And I remember God very specifically asking me one day, Shelley, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And I would list, well, I'm Shelley. I'm married to Michael. I have 3 kids. I live here. I go to church here. I sing in the choir. I teach a Bible study. And, you know, you go through all the things that you do.
Yes.
And God very specifically said to me, okay, what if all of that was taken away?
Yeah.
Shelley, who are you?
Who are you as a human being, not a human doing?
Exactly.
Right?
And I just stopped and said, okay, I get it. God, who I am is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be yours no matter what the circumstance.
Yes.
And that is your grounding. That is your foundation. Because things are going to happen.
That's right.
You're going to lose the job. Your husband may get sick. Your kids, something may happen. You may not live in the house that you live in.
That's right.
You may be moved. There's all kinds of circumstances that can change the outside of who people see you as. But when you know who you are in God, you will always be his child.
That's right.
Be his. You will always belong to him.
That's right.
And so this is the foundation of your identity, is knowing who you are in Christ. And I have this verse that I absolutely love, that I love to talk about, but it's 1 John 3, verse 1. And it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are.
Isn't that word incredible? Lavish.
Yes, I love that word.
Ugh.
It's one of those words that you just, when you get into it and you look at it, it has so many different synonyms that go along with it. And one of the things I have the women do is we look at those synonyms and I say, pick out the one that means something to you. And so there's so many different ones, and I have all these just myriad of a different personality of friends. And I had one pick posh because that meant something to
her. I love that.
Don't you love that? And then, you know, it was extravagant was another one.
Mm.
But the one that always strikes me is costly.
Okay.
And so that's the one that I resonate with.
Mm.
And so God's love that he has lavished on me was costly.
Mm.
And
see, for me, it's lavish.
Yes.
Because I was raised with a feeling that it was of scarcity all the time. And so when I hear lavished, it means that scarcity is gone.
Yes.
It's never going to come back. It's constant. It's overflowing. But then for people who have been raised in a different environment,
right, they're going to resonate with something different. And I love that about God.
I do too.
Because it all leads back to the same thing.
That's right.
That God meets your need right where you are.
That's right.
And so I love that about him. So this is the verse that is the foundation verse for understanding your identity. As God has lavished this love on you, and the reason he's done that is because he wants you to be a child of his.
That's right.
So you have to start there. So if anyone is listening and you are not sure whether you are a child of God, this is the time for you to reflect on that.
Yes.
And to realize that you can become a child of God. All you have to do is believe.
That's right.
Believe in Jesus, believe that he is who he said he was, and receive the gift that God has given you of this lavish love.
Yes.
And so this is your foundation. This is your bottom line identity.
Yes.
It doesn't come from your job.
That's
it doesn't
right.
come from your kids. It doesn't come from your husband. It doesn't come from anything that you're doing.
That's right.
It has
That's
everything right. to do with who you are in Christ.
Yes. And we need to hear that over and over.
Yes.
I was raised in very much a doing world.
Yeah.
I was raised in a very much performance-oriented
yes.
world. And my life verse, just to piggyback off that one, is 1 John 4:10. And it says, "This is love. Not that we loved God first," meaning not that we did anything.
Right.
We did not do anything right first,
right.
but that he loved us
yes.
and sent his son as a sacrifice for our sin. And it's the same concept that we can't outdo God. Like, we can't do enough
no.
for God. And he doesn't expect us to
no.
because he loved us first
right.
as just by our sheer existence,
yes.
which is what makes us human beings.
Yes.
And not human doing.
I love that
right?
you're saying that. That's so great.
Yes.
yes. And so what we have to do is we have to have this holy awakening. And I call it that because anytime you have someone in the Bible that makes this about face,
mm-hmm.
I've labeled all these in my Bible as a holy awakening. And
this
I can't,
good.
I love it.
That's
and
good.
I can't help but think of just, there's so many different people, but I think of Job is one of my favorite examples of this. Because after all the dust settles, if you know the story of Job, he lost everything.
Yes.
And then he had three friends come to try and comfort him, but they wound up, yeah.
These stinkers.
Yeah.
Which, can't we all be one of those stinkers, though? Well-meaning,
yes.
well-intentioned.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. And so Job calls them miserable comforters, but, which is perfect.
Yes.
But after all this settles, God comes on the scene.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just love this. I love this set of verses. If you ever want to read just dialogue of God speaking, get into Job because he speaks for chapter after chapter.
And don't you think people are afraid of Job? But it's such a beautiful picture
oh,
of God's
it's
love.
Perfect.
Yes, I agree.
And so God comes to Job and he says, "Who do you think you are?" It's just one of those things you're like, oh, mic drop on God.
Yes! You know? Do you know how many times he has said that to me in my life?
Well, me too. Me too. And so
Ooh.
He says, "Who do you think you are, Job? You know, were you there when I created the foundations of the world?"
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so Job stops and he says, "Oh, me, you are God and I am not."
That's some powerful
yes.
words.
And so this is what you need. You need to know that he is God and you are not. And that should bring this overwhelming measure of freedom.
That's right.
Because you do not have to be God.
That's right.
You have to be you.
That's right.
And allow God to work through you.
Yes. And I would add to that, he is God and we are not. And he can absolutely be trusted.
Absolutely, yes.
He can absolutely be trusted.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think maybe holds some of us back from giving our whole identity to him
yeah.
is because I think what I've seen is a lot of people base what they believe to be true about God on their circumstances and not on what he has literally faithfully done over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And circumstances are deceptive.
Yes.
And so I just want to add to that, yes, and that even brings more surrender when you can truly say, okay, you're God, I'm not, so I trust you.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where this is where you have to find this foundation.
That's right.
And this is where we talk about there is a, you have a role in this because
yes.
you do have to surrender that
yes.
and say, okay, maybe this hasn't worked
yes.
out for me in the past, but God, in this moment, I will trust you.
That's right, because belief and trust are different.
Yes.
They're not the same thing. And I think sometimes people get confused and they beat themselves up on the backside and they question their identity because of a trust issue. And trust and belief are different, because once you believe in Jesus, like what you just said, you're his. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're his. He's not letting you go. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you're always going to completely trust him. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a experiential, you gotta trust, and then he shows up, and then you trust, and then he shows up, and he's never going anywhere. It's just us.
Yes.
Surrendering.
Yes. And absolutely. That's a frightening thing, to surrender yourself, but we'll get into that more, but the more you know God, the more you understand
that's
him,
right,
the easier it is to Amen. Surrender to him.
Absolutely.
And so you have to start somewhere. So this is the starting point.
Absolutely.
This is the foundation for you. And so this is what I would say to anyone that's listening, that if you're just not sure about this, try it.
I mean...
You it can't hurt.
That's right. Yeah. really don't have anything to lose.
Right. There's nothing to lose here.
Except maybe a little pride.
Yes, always. And that's not a bad thing.
It is not.
It's not a bad thing.
It is not. I have never regretted that loss.
No. Oh, my goodness. Please strip me of my pride.
Yes.
It's so debilitating.
Yes.
But God is just, he's one of those things that you won't regret trying.
Yes.
Amen. And it's going to be this journey. There are going to be times that you are asked to walk a little deeper. And so this is where you begin, though, is understanding who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
And it has everything to do with him, and praise the Lord, nothing to do with us.
Yes.
Your complete and total identity will come from Christ. And that may sound scary, that may sound not possible, but I promise you, the deeper you walk with God, the closer you walk with him, the more you will understand how this is such a freeing thing to be found in Christ and have this holy awakening to realize who you are. Because when you realize who you are, it does strip that pride away. You realize, okay, I'm not... It does it on both spectrums. If you have too much pride, or you have the self-loathing, it does it on both spectrums, because it strips of pride.
Yes. Pride and shame.
Yes.
I tell everybody, grace is the equalizer of pride and shame.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Our identity is grounded in this is grace.
Yes.
Jesus. That's what we're talking about. And it's the equalizer of pride and shame.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It is. And so, you look at it those ways, and he'll strip you of that pride. And then if maybe you are that self-loather, you'll realize, okay, this has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
And it has everything to do with God. And so therefore I can be free from that shame. I can be free from that self-loathing. I can be free from thinking it all has to do with my own self-worth, because it doesn't.
Yep. Absolutely.
It doesn't come from that. So this is what we talk about when we talk about our identity. And then I don't know of a person. Well, I say that. I'm sure there's some women out there. But I'm girly. I'm just going to say it. I am. I like the girl things.
I love a good mascara. And a good shoe.
Now, shoes, yes. I have a problem with shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have a problem with booties. I love booties. There's something about... I can't help
Let's specify what a booty is as we're saying this on our podcast. You mean a boot that is low cut at the top?
Oh, Jesus. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Hey. We're having fun. Let's just say, I love that.
But yes, I do too.
I love them.
I love a good booty. I do.
So when that's what I'm drawn to. If I'm at the store, and it doesn't matter, because I have several of the same color. But if I see one, I'm like, oh,
I need that one. I don't have that shade of black. I have the darker black. But I really need this lighter black.
Oh, I'm going to, my husband, bless him. Such, you know, sanctification over his life. Bless him, bless him. But anyway, so I get those kinds of things. I'm really girly. And so what I love is a good love story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love a good love story. Yeah. I teach this incredible group of seventh graders on Sunday mornings at my church. And we were joking the other day because they all love watching those Hallmark movies. And
so yes!
They were having a Hallmark marathon. Yes. And so I was describing to them, we were talking about Ruth, and mm-hmm. I was.
They are a Hallmark story, aren't they?
They are. And so I told the girls, I was like, this is like one of your Hallmark movies. Yep. And so then we walked through it. And one of them would say, this is where the snow would fall. And this is where the character
awesome.
I love it. It's so cute.
That's
so
precious.
I know. They're so great. But I love a good love story. And I don't know of a better love story than what we're talking about. And I've got something I want to read to everybody.
Yes.
Because it's so profound. If you've never heard this before, this way, I really want you to grab a hold of this and just hear the love that God has for you in this set of verses. And what you were going to,
and that's Ephesians, right?
Yes,
you're reading
sorry.
From Ephesians,
yeah. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 3. And the translation I'm reading out of is the Message. And the reason I choose the Message for this is because it just has an everyday language that I just want you to hear.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like we're sitting and having a conversation
yes.
with
God. And so I want you to hear this because this is his heart towards you. This is your love story. And so if you're worried about trying to find your identity in God, mm-hmm. if it's coming from a place where you don't feel loved, I want you to listen to this because God loves you so much. So let me read this to you. It says, how blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and he takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ, and what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. Mm. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together, summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on
mm-hmm.
us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. And you can keep reading because it's still just so, so good. But that's what I want you to hear.
Yes.
And so if you are somewhere where you can get a hold of the Message translation, it starts in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. What I would love for you to do is everywhere it has one of those personal pronouns, put your name in that place.
Yes, yes, yes.
It is so good. It's so good. I just want to read a little bit to you, and I'm going to just use my name. It says, how blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes Shelley to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down Earth's foundations, he had Shelley in mind, had settled on Shelley as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love.
Somebody needs to hear that. I need to hear that today.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it brings tears to my eyes because I think about all of us who are living as orphans. Like, we don't have, and this is coming from somebody who lost her dad at a very early age. That's love.
That is love. It's
that's
just
love that I don't ever have to doubt whether or not I'm a loved and valued girl.
No.
That little girl, that little 16-year-old girl, was equally as loved. And somebody needs to hear that today. Somebody is sitting in their home, in their car, listening to this podcast, and you believe right now that you are the worst, that you're the one who's not lovable, that you're the one who is constantly deserving of being abandoned, that you're the one that everybody walks away from, or the one that is constantly failing other people, or the one whose kids are just hateful to because they're in that season of hard. Let me just tell you right now, your marriage may be crumbling. I'm thinking of women. I wish I could say your name. I'm not going to, but I'm thinking it. You're loved.
Yes.
That's love.
That is love.
Delight. Think about the word lavished on you. He delights in you. He chose you before he laid the foundation of the earth. You.
Yes.
That's huge.
It's so good. It gives, I literally have goosebumps right now. That's what someone needs to hear. This is why we started out with this verse, that how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we could be called the children of God. And that verse, that series of verses in Ephesians, tells us that love story. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 gives us this overall thought process, and then Ephesians gets down into the bones of it.
Yes.
It tells us exactly what God had in mind and had in plan for us from the beginning. It wasn't accidental.
That's right.
It was purposeful. It says that he took great delight in these plans that he made for us.
That's right.
He went out of his way so he could adopt us, went out of his way so that he could love us. And it has nothing to do with us other than he loves us. He loves us just how we are.
Yes. And you know, I want to make sure that people understand that this is the word of God being spoken to you. This
yes.
is his words. This is the word of God. But I can tell you, I'm the historical proof. Right?
Yeah.
The reason why we share stories is because it's one thing for us to say, hey, this is true for you, but this is living, like I am living proof that this is true.
Absolutely.
Because if you know my story, you know that I am a mess, that I have done all the wrong things, that I have rebelled against God, that if there's any person on this earth that cannot be loved anymore, I would fit into that category. I can't tell you enough that this is not only the words of God that we're reading in this book called the Bible, but we are sitting here as historical evidence that this is true. And so if it's true for me, I want you to hear this is truth
yeah.
for you. This is where you have to take that step
yes.
that Shelley was saying, you can't lose.
No, you can't.
It's you just got to try it.
Yeah.
You just got to test it out. Because it's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
It is. It's real. It's so real.
So let me ask you this, Shelley. What is some practical practices that you can recommend? Because there's so much more we're going to talk about
right.
in the future. There's
right.
there's tons. I mean, we can talk about that as parents.
Mm-hmm.
We're just at the base point, the
yes.
starting point, right?
Yes.
And so what are some practical things that we can recommend, practices to go ahead and put into place to start building up your identity in Christ, to daily reaffirm who you are in Jesus starting today?
Yes. The first thing I would do is I would write down who you think you are. Write it all down. Write down where you right now are getting your identity from. Where is it coming from? And then compare it to what your true identity is in Christ. And I talked about that at the very beginning, where if everything I had was stripped away, what would I still be? And I would still be a child of God. And that is your foundation. So write down where you feel like your identity comes from. And if you're not getting it from that foundation that you are a child of God, then that is something that you need to pray over and ask God to release you from that.
And be honest about
be
it,
honest.
Too. Because I think that sometimes we edit ourselves
oh, yeah.
because we don't, it's hard to face some of these things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's where that pride kind of
oh,
comes
totally.
In. And don't, like I said before, this is something you deserve
yeah.
to do for yourself.
And this isn't something someone's going to see. This is
That's
just
right.
for you and
That's
God.
Right.
This is just the two of you working this out together.
That's right.
So write it down. That's such a powerful thing, is to actually see your thoughts written down on paper.
I do it as a practice. Do you do it as a practice? Yes. I do. Still.
Journaling is major for me.
Yes, me too.
I need to see, because when I can see, when I'm writing down something and I can recognize that that's a lie.
Yes.
And that helps me discern the truth. So write it down. And so this is what I would do. I would start out writing it down. And the next thing I would do is, every time you come to one of these crossroads where you're tempted to get your self-worth, you're tempted to get your identity from something other than being a child of God, write it down. Write it down, and you can put beside it, this is not truth.
Amen.
This is a lie from the enemy.
Amen.
And then write your truth beside it. My truth is that I am a child of God. He has lavished his love on me, and it's something he gave me before I was even born, before the world was even created, and he did it because he loves me.
Yes, yes. Tell them the verses one more time so that they can write them down on their mirror or whatever they need to do.
Oh my goodness, yes. So it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and then it's Ephesians chapter 1, and you start in verse 3.
And you can keep going all the way through.
Oh, please, go all the way down to the end. Yes,
it is good.
All the way to the end of that chapter. And take your name and put it in that blank. Put it in that, where that, anytime you see one of those personal pronouns, put your name in that spot. And if you have to, let that be your mantra.
That's
right. Let that be the thing that you repeat over and over in your mind. Because, girls, we're repeating something over and over in our minds.
Preach, sister, because that's a fact.
That is a fact. And we might as well, if we're going to be repeating something, let's repeat God's word, God's truth.
And there's a lot of us that need to be relearning some things.
Yes.
We need to be retraining. Retraining.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we'll talk about that more next time.
Thank you, Shelley.
Yes.
Oh, so good. I feel like we just went to church a little bit today.
We did. It's awesome.
Guys, come back. Shelley is coming back. We're going to hear from her very regularly. Mm-hmm. And make sure you follow her at Go3 Ministries.
Yes.
You can find her on Instagram, Facebook, and then go ahead and give your website, Shelley.
It's just go3ministries.com.
Okay. So I can't wait for you to come back and visit with us
more.
And y'all come back. And as usual, make sure you're encouraging one another daily, as long as it's called today, sisters. We need all the encouragement we can get.
Yeah.
Thanks, y'all.